Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
We are in the series of Colossians. Let me ask you one thing. We have finished chapter 3, verse 1 to 17. To whom did Paul talk to? To whom did Paul talk? Verse 1 to 17 of chapter 3. He talks with everybody, right? Generally, he is speaking with congregation. But today we are going to look at verse 18 and 19. But if you look at verse 18 to chapter 4, verse 2, verse 1, it is talking about Paul is speaking with special people, special classes. Paul was generally talking to everybody in the Colossian church, chapter 3, verse 1 to 17, but now he is speaking to special classes in the church, not general. Today our passage is one of the special classes. The first foremost, Paul wants to address families in the churches. He has divided families into two categories. One is husband and wife responsibilities. Another one is parents and children responsibility. He wants to speak with families in the churches. He wants to construct the life of families in the churches. That's why he is talking with them. Today we will look at the duties of husband and wife in marriage life. The sermon will remind you, brothers and sisters, what you heard in your wedding sermon, what you have heard in your premarital counseling. It is a reminder. I am not teaching you new things. You know already. Just I want to remind you, as Paul wants to remind you. I used to read many jokes in newspaper in my childhood. Whenever I see newspaper, I want to read one portion, a joke of the day. When I read those jokes, mostly it is about husband and wife, right? So many jokes. If I read some jokes, you can laugh very loudly. I believe that. It is like this. Some jokes are like this about husband and wife. Man said to doctor, "Doctor, do you have medicine that prolong my lifetime?" "Doctor, please marry." "Man, will I live many years if I marry?" "Doctor, no. You will not get these thoughts." Which means, you want to die early after your marriage. Another joke. The wife said like this. "This computer is not working. As for my command." "Husband, darling, it's a computer. It's not a husband." This is another joke. Then if you think about another joke, the wife is saying, "Is this ambulance service? Please come urgently." Driver said, "What happened, madam?" Wife said, "A cup of coffee fell on my sari." Driver said, "Should I come even for that, madam? Why are you calling me?" She said, wife said, "No, when it happened, my husband laughed." So you know, right, what happened? She has beaten her husband because he was laughing at her. So many jokes you can read about husband and wife. But why I am telling these jokes? If these jokes are real in your life, you don't have Christ-centered marriage. That is my point. I did not mention these jokes so that you can laugh. If these jokes are real in your marriages, you don't have biblical marriage. You don't have Christ-centered marriages. Maybe some of our brothers and sisters who are bachelors, what about us? You want to speak with husband and wife, what about us? But even it is for you, brothers and sisters, single men who are sitting back. If you want to cultivate, if you want to become good husband, good wife, you should learn from this time onwards. You need to have those qualities before you become husband, before you become a wife. So this is the lesson to everybody else. Don't think that this is only for married couple. You need to cultivate these habits before you become husband and wife. You know, right? Many times. When do you write final exam? Will you write your final exam a day you entered your school or college? No. You write your final exam at the final, at the end. So you need to train yourself. You have to write tests. You have to write internals. You have to write qualifiers. You have to write half-yearly exams, quarterly exams. So you train yourself. Finally, you write exam. So if you want to become, if you want to marry, it is a good thing to marry. So to become good husband, to become good wife, you have to learn. You have to listen this sermon. This sermon will help you to become what God's want to become. Turn with me, Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 to 19. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 to 19. Reads like this. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Only two verses, one verse for wives, one verse for husbands. But we will learn many things from these verses. But theme of this passage, I have given Christ-centered marriage, because verse 18 says, as is fitting in the Lord. Verse 19, husbands, love. It is agape love. It is Christ love. Even Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, it says, please look at verse 17, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are doing, you are submitting to your husband, you are loving your wife, because you are doing everything in the name of the Lord, in obedience to the Lord. That's what. Even Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. He says, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved. That's why I put theme of this passage, Christ-centered marriage. Christ-centered marriage. Marriage is beautiful if it is Christ-centered. It is horrible, terrible if it is not Christ-centered. Those all jokes will come into the place. If you don't have Christ-centered marriage, if you don't know Christ, if you are not thinking about Christ, then your marriage will be destroyed. You don't have Christ-pleasing marriages. God wants us to have Christ-centered marriages. Brothers and sisters, Paul is speaking to husbands and wives. Why did he start first with husband and wife? He thought there are lots of problems and misunderstandings in married couple. They need to change more other than others. Marriage is a very important and beautiful institution that it was before sin came into the world. There is only one relationship which exists before sin, that is marriage relationship. Husband and wife. There were no children before sin, but only marriage relationship is there. God himself established this marriage. So it is very important. God himself is giving responsibilities, roles in marriage. Let me ask you, what are the roles of husbands and wives in marriage? Did you forget it to do it? This sermon will remind you again to do what you are called for. Throw all your complaints in the deep ocean. Throw all your complaints about your husband, your wife, throw in a place which you cannot see. Feel, imagine yourself for good sake that this is your wedding day. Start yourself. Don't think about, see, she is not submitting to me. He is not loving to me. Throw all those complaints. I know you have lots of complaints, right? Lots of complaints. Or some complaints. through all those complaints, sit with humble heart, listen to the word of God, what God wants to say. Even though my age is very less, but I have 5 years experience. So I can have something to say about marriage. Don't think that how he can say about marriage. I have some experience. Please listen carefully that we have two Christ-like characters in Christ-centered marriage. First Christ-like character in Christ-centered marriage that we see is a submissive wife. Two characters, most important, the first character is a submissive wife. Verse 18, wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Here Paul moving to special class. He is speaking to particular persons in the church, that is wives. He is not speaking with anybody else. Wives, I am speaking with you. I want to speak with you. Before I want to talk with husbands for later. I want to speak with you. He is starting with wives. The meaning of this word is subject to yourself, which means arrange under. Put yourself in subjection. The meaning of this word is willingly putting yourself under someone else. Sisters, are you able to catch? Willingly putting yourself, not pressurely, not forcefully, you need to put yourself willingly under someone that is your husband. The basic idea of this submission is, basic idea of is obedience. In submission, you have obedience. You need to listen to your husbands. You need to listen to them. But there is difference between obedience of children to parents, and there is a difference between subjunction and obedience to husbands. But it is talking about a submissive wife. To submit to one's own control, to yield one's admonition, advice, you need to recognize your husband's authority. You know Luke chapter 2 verse 51. The same word used for Jesus when he was a child. Luke chapter 2 verse 51. When he was a boy, the same word used for him. He went down with them, came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. His mother treasured all these things in her. The word used for Jesus, the main idea is wives should arrange themselves under their husbands. They must put themselves willingly under their husband's authority. They must submit themselves to obey their husbands. They are there in the family to submit to their husbands, not to control, not to sit on head of the husband. I know it is very strong. I know it is very different teaching from the world. The world teaches feminism and all those women, how you disrespect women. But God is saying, Christ is saying, the one who created you has given you responsibility to submit, to put yourself under your husband. You may think that, see, before they need to subject, but now I cannot submit. Culture is changed, times are changed. So before, old people are submitting to their husbands. Now I won't submit. But look at Paul commanding, be subject is present imperative, present command. The idea is wives should continually submit their husbands. Submission is to be continued. This is their habit. When they do this, brothers and sisters especially, when you do this, you will build your character as wife. If you are not submissive wife, you are not fulfilling your role. You are living against God. You are sinning if you are rebellious against your husband, fighting with him to show up. Here we have two principles that a submissive wife should follow. I know it is very difficult, but God will help us. God will motivate us to submit. Two principles. principles that a submissive wife should follow. First principle for a submissive wife should follow is submitting to him alone. Look at verse 18 says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands." Listen, sisters, the word is saying that wives should not submit to every man. He has to submit, she has to submit to her own husband, not all men. We can see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands." This is the principle that wives should follow. Not everybody in the church. Other men can come and your husband's dad, your husband's mom, your husband's relatives, or your mommy daddy. You should not listen to them. Your husband is your head. He has authority over you. You need to submit to himself. Why do wives need to submit to him alone? Because God gave that authority to him. Paul appeals to them to submit based on his conviction that men had a God-given leadership role in the family. Wives should respect the leadership of their husband. Do you respect your husband's leadership? Sisters, those who are married, will you respect? That's what Paul is asking. You need to respect the leadership of your husband that was given by God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23 says, and 24, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church." Did you see how Paul is comparing? Christ is the head of the church. Your husband is head of you. Christ has authority over church. Your husband has authority over you. Don't forget that. Verse 24, "As the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be their husbands in everything." In everything. Wives, you are so good most of the time. I praise God, but sometimes you don't want to submit. But Paul is saying in everything, in everything, in everything. It doesn't mean when they force you to do sin, that time you cannot submit to that person. Other time, you need to submit your husband. Paul reminds wives in Ephesus, they should submit as the church is submitting to Christ. Who is the head of the church? This is the grounds for the wife's submission to her husband. It is built on Christ's headship over the church. So amazing, right? So amazing truth. To build marriage relationship, to produce peace in marriage, God has given a role of submission to wives. If you think, do you give any example in the Bible who respected her husband? Look at the life of Sarah. No, God spoke with him. "You have to leave your nation, go where I am showing," right? What was the response of Sarah? She listened to her husband, right? Even Peter says about her, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 6. Please, sisters, please turn with me. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 6. My focus is only you. First part. The later I will talk with men, including me. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 6. It says, "Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham." Here he did not mention submission. He said obeyed. That means it is synonyms. Means submission has obedience. He clearly says that just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Let me ask you, sisters. Did you call any time your husband, "Sir, Master, you are my earthly master. No one is Lord to me. I know Lord is. Heavenly Lord is there for me." Will you call anytime, sir? So you call your husband like honey, or you can call by name. Darling, you can call. But recognize, even though he is your darling, even though he is so friendly with you, but don't forget, he has authority. Amen. He is sir. He is master. He is Lord. Small L-O-R-D. Yes. He has. He is Lord. Sarah called Abraham Lord, our master. All men, husbands are saying Amen in their heart. I will speak with you later, second half. So, you need to respect your husband. Sarah was unlikely wives who say their heads follow the culture today. Freedom, feminism. Let me tell you something from the Bible. The both genders are equally created in God's image. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28. Both are equal. God created equally. Heirs together of eternal life. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 to 29. They have same salvation. If you look at chapter 3, even Paul talks about that. Verse 11. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Paul talking about salvation is to everybody. They are equal. Don't listen to the world's views, sisters. Don't listen to feminists who do not care about Christ, His Lordship. They are unbelievers. They are going to hell. Do you want to listen to them? Do you want to listen to the word of God, which is most important to you? But watching so many movies and series and seeing Facebook and many things, you are being attracted to those things. You want to have your rights. But I will tell you, you are equal with your husband in many ways. But God has given you this role. You have to listen to Him. Because He is your master. Under Heavenly Master. One day my friend called me. And asked me this question. He asked that. Does Bible kill the rights of women? He asked me that question. I said, why you are saying that? He said that, see, women should submit to their husband. At the same time, they should not speak in the church. They should be silent. They have to learn. Then I told him like this. I told him that everyone on the earth submits to someone else. Do you agree? Not only women. If a woman is a principal in college, will lecturers obey her, listen to her? Yes, they should listen to her because she has that authority in the world. What about other things? The men submit to their bosses in secular world. All of us should submit to the government. While we are traveling, we are driving car and bikes, then when signals are not working, what will happen? The policeman stands there and show the signals, right? Everyone has to listen to him. Everyone has to submit to that authority. If you won't submit to that authority, what will happen? You cannot reach your home on time. You cannot reach your office on time. For the good sake of society, everyone has to listen to that authority. It doesn't mean you are unequal to that policeman. You are equal, you are a human being, but he has authority for the good sake of society. What about children? Let me talk with you. Will you ask your children to obey you? Should your children obey to parents? Why? No, they are human beings. Why should they obey to you? They should not obey to you. They are human beings. They are equal to you. Why you are asking to listen to your words? Did you get my point? Everywhere in family, outside, in job, leadership is there. For the good sake of marriage relationship, God has given you that role. You have to keep yourself under your husband's authority. What about church? If you think about church, who will rule the church? Do we think everyone here is equal in Christ? But who will administrate the church? Pastors, right? Under them, who will administrate? Deacons will, right? In church, in outside, in job, secular job, everywhere God has given authority over something else. Don't think that, why I am only submitting? No, everyone has to submit in other times. But in family, you have to listen to God. This submission is in difference to the ultimate leadership of husband for the health and harmonious working of the marriage relationship. Think about Titus chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. If you are feeling bad, sad, why I should listen to him? Why God is commanding? If you know God, if you want to honor God, read Titus chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. It says like this. Turn with me, Titus chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Did you get point? If you are not submitting to your husband, you are dishonoring the word of God. Society will dishonor the word of God. These people go to church. She go to church, but she is rebellious against her husband. She fights with her husband, but she says that, I am a believer. I am a Christian. See, word of God will be dishonored if you are not submitting to your husband. Whenever you fight with your husband, whenever you disrespect the leadership of your husband, you are dishonoring the word of God. So that should be your motivation. I should not dishonor the word of God. The word of God is saying, I need to listen. Robertson, the beloved former president of Columbia Bible College. In March 1990, Dr. Robertson announced his resignation. He wrote a reason why he gave his resignation letter. Listen, all sisters, those who are married already. Listen, he says like this. My dear wife, Muriel has been in failing mental health for 8 years. I managed until now, but her condition is not good. The decision was made in the way 42 years ago when I promised to care for Muriel in sickness and health till death do us apart. Listen these words carefully. He said like this. She has cared for me fully, sacrificially, all these years. If I cared for her next 40 years, I would not be out of debt. She is a delight to me. Her childlike dependence and her confidence in me, her warm love. It is a high honor to care for so wonderful person. These are the words of husband about his wife. Why I'm telling this? Sister, will your husband say this? Because of your warm love, because of your respect, because of how you love him, how you care about him, will your husband leave his job? 1 lakh or 2 lakhs, he wants to leave that job to care about you. Will your husband say this? That's the reason to share about that story. You need to have high level qualification. If you know Christ, you should have high level qualification. You should not be like other women in society. You are something special. You obey Jesus. You love Jesus. Any husband will say like that. If he has a submissive wife, one who cares, one who loves him. Sisters, listen. Remember, submission is not slavery. I missed that. Submitting as Christ submitted. Second principle is submitting as Christ submitted. The second principle that a submissive wife should follow is submitting as Christ submitted. Look at verse 18 says, the wives be subject to husband as is fitting in the Lord. Fitting in the Lord. So we have seen men's example, how a person wrote about his wife. So we have motivation. You have motivation. That is second principle, submitting as Christ. Look at the phrase, as is fitting in the Lord. The use of as is, comparison between the connected ideas, tells how something is to be done. We can say just in the manner way, in the same way, in this manner, you need to submit. So he is bringing Christ, his ultimate model to you. Don't do be burdened. Are, why should I submit? But he is giving example of Christ. Christ himself submitted to God the Father for you and me. We know that. Look at the word he says, as it is fitting in the Lord. He is talking about submission of Christ. At the same time, he is using the Lord. Paul is very so clever. The Holy Spirit so clever. He is mentioning that Jesus Christ is the Lord. At the same time, he submitted to Father. So that's motivate you. That's motivate you. Don't feel bad. Why I need to submit? Even Christ submitted, even though he is God. He is eternal God, based on John Gospel chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He is great God, according to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. He is true God, and he is eternal life. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He submitted to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on cross. Your model is not someone else in society. Your model is Christ himself. He submitted to God. If he is submitting to, he submitted God the Father, what about you? He himself is saying, see, I submitted for the sake of, for the salvation of you all. You submit your husband for the good sake of your family. Christ is asking. But you can say that, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. He is not loving me. He is not loving. I try to submit to him, but he is not loving me. Do you have those complaints? I'm willingly submit to him, but he is not loving me. Do you have those complaints? But Peter has answer for it. Peter has answer for it. Even though he is not fulfilling his role of loving, you have to fulfill your duty of submission. If you fulfill your duty, then there is no reason to stop your husband from loving you. Fulfill your duty. But we know, right, many times wives often says to their husbands in counseling time, many times I heard, in times of argument, they say like this, you changed. You are not before. You changed. You are loving so nicely before. Now you are not showing that love. Did you say any time to with your husband? Maybe it happened in your life. But generally those things will come. But all your expectations, right? Before my marriage, I expected this one, that one. Initially, you fulfill those things. Now you are not able to fulfill those things. Complaints against him. So that's why I am not able to submit to him, Pastor, in counseling time. But Peter has answer. Peter has answered. Peter is saying that, do you know why he is not loving? Because you are not submitting. I am not speaking with a man. So I am saying, fulfill your duty, he will love. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, 1 to 6. Please turn with me, 1 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. He says like this, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 to 6. In the same way, it is connected to Christ's suffering. Look at verse 21 onwards. He gave example of Christ. Even though Christ is going through suffering, he did not rebel against them. He did not revail. He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. So in the same way, you wives, even though your husbands are not loving, even though your husbands are treating you very badly, even though they are worst kind of person you got, but you have to love. Why I'm saying? See, it says like this. He says to wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As though observe your chaste and respectable behavior. Your adornment must not be external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Verse 5, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Did you see? He is giving example. If you show your excellent behavior, gentle behavior, what will happen? Your husband will change. Fulfill your duty first. Don't complain about his love. First think about your duty. One thing I want to say. The most ugly person who has color like charcoal. Let me tell you, I am not disrespecting them. God has created them. The ugly person looks like she is most beautiful woman in the sight of God if she is submission. The most beautiful woman who has beautiness, excellent woman, everybody respect that woman. But if she is not submissive, she is most ugliest person in sight of God. Especially to her husband. Husband knows, right? Whether you are submitting or not, husband knows. God knows. So what Peter is saying that don't think about external things. Think about internal things. That is especially submission. Have humility. Respect your authority. But you want respect from your children, but you don't want respect your husband. That time you show your authority, right? You need to listen, mommy. You say, right? In the same way, not in the same way how children obey, in the sense, you have to listen what God is saying. So the motivation will be submitting as Christ did. Remember, submission is not slavery, sisters. It is godliness and it is powerful. The weak women never submit, but only strong women who know Christ's submission only do it. Listen to older ladies. Take counseling for them. Study some godly women in the Bible and biographies to cultivate this habit. So all women say, all women said, amen, right? So that is your duty. Now I want to come to men. The most responsible people for the sins of women. Sins of wife. The second Christ-like character in Christ-centered marriage is loving husband. Paul did not command husband to submit. Paul command husband to love. That's what we are seeing. Husbands, love your wives. Paul now turns to the duty of husband. He does not command them to submit, but to love. Normally, man will pray like this. Listen, men, those who are married, including me. All married men, before marriage, single men especially, they pray like this. Lord, give me godly wife. Lord, give me godly lady in my life. That is not biblical prayer. You have to pray like this. Lord, make me biblical man. Lord, make me biblical man. You should not think more spirituality from your spouse than you, in you. You need to think about yourself. You need to pray yourself. You should be most godly person in your family. Don't think about she has to so spiritual. She has to submit. You have to love them, her. You have to have most standard. You need to pray like that. Because he has to love her in every time. Two ways that a husband should love. The first way that husband should love is loving by sacrificially. Loving by sacrificially. Says love your wives. Love is not emotional, but action. The meaning of love is sacrificial, selfless love. Husbands are to love their wives in self-sacrificial manner, following the example of Christ, who gave himself for the church in loving self-sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. Husbands, listen. Husbands, you need to love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Gave himself up for her. Paul is clearly explaining how the husband should love his wife. You need to love how Christ loved the church, his bride. Brothers, Christ loved his bride. He sacrificially gave himself for her. He gave his life to save her from the wrath of God. He became man because of her. He lived a righteous life for her. He has no house because of her. He bared all iniquities for her. He was forsaken by the Father because of her. He bared all iniquities for her. Jesus did not say just, "I love you." Just people say, right, "Honey, I love you. Sweetie, I love you." Something like, "Bujji, I love you." Those are words, right? Paul is not talking about words. "I love you, I love you." Paul is talking about sacrificial love. Do you have deeds? Do you have deeds? Are you showing your deeds that you love your wife? Paul is saying that how Christ loved. He did not give up. The husband should love sacrificially. He is not giving option, but he is commanding them also. He is commanding them to love their wives as Christ loved his bride. A husband should love their wife continually. See, when she is submitting to me, then I love. He is not saying that. Whether she submits or not, whether she is fighting with you or she is loving, that is not matter. You have to show your responsibility. You have to love her. He is commanding. See, example of Christ. He did not leave his bride any time. He is interceding, preparing a home for her. Never stop loving church. Never stop forgiving his bride. Never stop sanctifying his bride. He is a model for husbands. Model for husbands. Do you know who Christ is? Then you will act according to that. John Gospel chapter 14 verse 3. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." See what a faithful husband he is. "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He is preparing houses for his bride. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. "Therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." He is interceding. What are the practical ways that we can love our wives? We can show our sacrificial love. You need to sacrifice your time, husbands. You need to sacrifice your time to pray with her, for her, to study word of God with her, to teach her, and also to fulfill her physical need. You have to spend your time with her. You need to sacrifice your time. You need to sacrifice your strength to help her in her work. When she is in need, in times of sickness, in times of guest comes to your home, she is not able to do all work, you need to put your hand. Just you are sitting aramse on the sofa and enjoying listening songs, but she has to do everything. It's not right. Something, if you don't know cooking, it's okay. But you need to help something, cutting vegetables. Somehow you need to help. If she is preparing the food for guests, you can clean the house at least. You don't know how to clean, please come to me, I will clean. Or wash dishes at least. Somehow when guests are coming, burden is more for her. But don't say, I love you. You need to show that. You need to show that. You need to sacrifice your strength. Going to market, buying things. Sometimes husband is not doing. You have to go to market. You need to buy meat. You need to buy coriander leaves, mint leaves. That is your responsibility. When she is free, she can go. That's not sin. But you need to sacrifice your strength. You need to sacrifice your money. Not only sacrifice your time and strength. To provide for her things she needs. Food, clothes, shelter, things needed in the kitchen and home. She's asking many days, please give that, you are not bringing that. If you don't have money, you can request. But even though you have money, you are not bringing those things. Because you don't want to spend your money. For your wife's sake. She wants some spoon, something like, to prepare some food. But you don't want to buy that. You are selfish. You are selfish. Please think about it. That's why I said, be happy before only. You have more things to do. More responsibility on you. Don't think about whether she is submitting or not. You need to fulfill your duties. To take her out for coffee or dinner or lunch sometimes. Did you give any time flower to your wife? Give flower to her. Initially, you know, after engagement, so love will come, right? After marriage also, even though you have children, even though your age is 60, give flower to your wife. That shows that you spend your money. That shows that you love her. Even in this age, she is more beautiful than before, right? You should not stop loving her. You need to sacrifice your time. You should be a loving husband. More than anyone else in that society where you stay. The most loving husband is a Christian husband who knows Christ's love. Do you agree? Say amen. Amen. But it is very hard. You need to pray a lot because you are dealing with her, right? You are dealing with her. At the same time, you need to pray so that God may give you strength to love sacrificially. Amen. The wrong way to love her, wrong way to submission is when husband is telling her to do sin, right? The wrong way love also is there. The wrong way of loving her is to be silent husband when she sins. Like Adam, right? Adam, he was there. He's so loving husband. Even though Eve is doing sin, he was silent. I love you, Eve. I love you, Eve. I don't want to talk anything with you. Is it right? Is that true love? You have to correct. You have to correct. When she sins. Wrong way of loving her is support her when she sins, depending her instead of correcting her. And also do all work for her, making her lazy. You know? Reverse also is there. If you are doing, you love her, you are doing everything, even though she is able to do some things. Even though Paul commanded young wives, they have to work hard at their home, right? So don't do everything so that she will become lazy. So be practical. Be practical. But at the same time, brothers, one thing I can tell you in my experience. Brothers, she is a God-given gift for you. Love her sacrificially. She is a gift. No one like her because God has selected you for her. God has selected her for you. Kent Hughes, he says about husbands. He says like this. Marriage is a call to die. And the man who does not die for his wife does not come close to the love to which he is called. Christian marriage vows are the beginning of a lifelong practice of death. Of giving over not only all you have, but all you are. You are called to die for your wife. Christ died for his bride. This man of God is saying, you should be ready to die for her. That is your calling. The second way that a husband should love is loving by not having bitter. I thought I am able to complete this, but time is going on. Time is going on. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be embittered against them. In Roman world, men tend to rage bitterly against their wives, mistreat them because of their great strength, louder voice. They have louder voice, right? So because of their strength, they abuse. Because of their sinful nature, use harsh words, threats, unkindness, even physical violence to intimidate their wives. Are you beating your wife? I hope no one is beating his wife. You should not beat. You should not mistreat her. You should not treat her as your slave. She is not slave. She is fellow heir of God with you. God saved her. You need to respect her. That's what Paul is saying. The word meaning is embitter is means to be irritated, render anger. Husband should stop those things. If he is getting angry, if he has bitterness against his wife, he has to stop. Stop doing that. Why Paul is saying some of husbands in Colossae were doing these things. They were beating, they are abusing, they are getting angry with their wives. So he is telling, don't get angry with them. Don't get angry with them. Do you feel they are your enemies, right? She is hurting you, she is hating you. You feel she is your enemy, right? What Jesus told about enemies. Luke chapter 6, 27. But I say to you, who here love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. You have to do good to your enemies. You need to love her. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says that you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker. Since she is a woman, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Instead of getting angry, husbands need to work hard for their sanctification. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, to present her holy and blameless in front of the Father. Front of Father, right? They need to pursue Christ-likeness. You, as a husband, you need to pursue Christ-likeness whenever they do sin. Don't get angry. Don't mistreat them. Respect them. Honor them. Husbands are getting angry because they say, right, why you are not loving? Because she is not submitting to me. But again Paul says, Ephesians chapter 28, chapter 5. Turn with me, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. Look at these phrases. The wife must see to it. Result of that, she respects her husband. Did you see? If you are loving your wife, she has to see that. If she sees you that you are loving her, what will happen? She starts respecting you. So before I told, if you are submitting, your husband will love. Now I am telling, if you are loving, she will submit. She will respect. So, the lesson is, you have to fulfill your own duties. But husband has more duties. More than wives. Please turn. Stay with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22-23. There, you can see three verses for wives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22-23. Three verses for wives. Nine verses for husbands. Who is more responsible? Who is more responsible? Wife or husband? In my family, it's me. If she is getting angry, if wife is getting angry, that's problem is you only. because you have more responsibility, because you are not loving her, because you are not caring her, she is not submitting to you. Did you see weightage, how much he wrote to her husbands? John Piper wrote this in his book called Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. He said to husbands, especially pastors, everybody, he said like this, love her. You husbands, love her. Love her more than breath. Yes, love her. Love her more than life. Oh, love the woman called your wife. Go love her as your earthly best. Be sure to love her less than God. God may help us to have Christ-centered marriage. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us, Lord, helping us to understand our roles as husbands and wives in church. Lord, help us, Lord, motivate us through your word. Change our hearts, Lord, to fulfill our duties. Make husbands in our churches to love their wives. Make wives in our churches to submit to their husbands, just as you submitted to God the Father. Lord, help us, Lord. Give us strength. Build marriages, marriage relationship in our churches, Lord. Lord, protect our families. Protect our marriages. Lord, we should not be influenced by the world. Lord, we should be influenced by your word. Lord, help us, Lord. Be with us. Build your church, Lord, through families in churches. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.